This is Cashing Out with your host, Dustin Sweetelson, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Yeah, buddy, August the 18th, be with you on a Tuesday night. I'm Dustin Sweetelson, and I'll be with you all night long as we broadcast from the Circus Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas. Appreciate you making us part of your night, however you may be tuning in. SiriusXM Channel 158, YouTube TV, the VSiN Watch app, and radio affiliates across the United States of God Bless America. We got a fun show lined up for you tonight on the program. A three-hour excursion as we'll hit a little bit of everything along the way. National League MVP, the candidates with shots fired, trading them back and forth last night into today. More on that in just a moment here. Preseason line moves for week two in the National Football League. We also have a lot to dive into as far as futures are concerned. Fewest wins market. There's a team that feels so obvious. I know I can't bet it because I bet the obvious team the last 2 years and it hasn't worked out well for your boy. Also, NFL rushing touchdown leader. There is a number on a guy in a new place that I don't think makes any sense, around 40-1 in the market currently, plus college football rankings. Do they matter to the teams? And if they don't anymore, should they matter in our handicaps? Plus, we have a lot to do as far as quarterback situations heading into the season. All of that and more coming your way over the course of the next 3 hours. Fired up to be with you here on a Tuesday. And we'll begin with the live Major League Baseball as one game currently in action. One is in a weather delay. First in Chicago at Wrigley Field, eighth inning. We're looking at a 3-3 ball game between the Cubs and the White Sox. This one was dramatic last night as we were on the air when Pete Crow Armstrong hit a walk-off home run, and PCA led off today with a home run as well. That's a homer in three straight games, four homers in that span thus far. First player with multiple leadoff homers and a walk-off home run in two games. And PCA now is your betting favorite at minus 165 for NL MVP. We took a little bit last night as the ball was leaving the wood, heading for the bleachers in right field at Wrigley Field. We took a little PCA at plus 110 and plus 105 as the number was moving. Now, if we wanted to, we could take Ohtani at plus 130. I don't hate the idea of doing that. And here's part of the reason why. Shohei Ohtani is not going to get punked. He is not going to get shown up because as PCA does that in Chicago, Shohei Ohtani delivers his 30th home run of the season for the Dodgers in Coors Field. He's 1-for-3, two ribbies on the night. And right now, we are looking at a 7-4 ball game in the eighth inning. Dodgers have the lead. They're minus 16-20. Total in game is 12 and a hook right now. But this one closed with the Dodgers near minus $2. The total in this one, 11 and a half. That's worth noting here because the Rockies will get a final at bat in this contest if things continue to shake out the way they are right now. Nobody out in the eighth. There's still an opportunity for a couple runs here to go over the original total of 11 and a half. We're at 11 on the dot. In-game total is 12 and a half. So just worth monitoring as we hit the stage here with these final two games. Alive in the Monday or Tuesday card of Major League Baseball. White Sox right now and the Cubs, with that one in a delay in the eighth. Remember, Chicago used a bunch of relievers last night. The Cubs did as well, but the White Sox bullpen is one that I do not trust. The Cubbies are minus 144. White Sox are plus 125. 7.5 is the total. You can't bet anything right now at this moment. But once we get going again, I don't hate the idea of the Cubs, who now are up to minus 164 as I'm speaking right now. What is going on here? What am I missing? But that is correct to me, is that the Cubs be the play. The longer this team goes on, the more they have the advantage. They're the bullpen I trust more. We were raving about Jacob Webb, working in and out of trouble last night here on the show. This one's up to minus 188. It's off the board at DraftKings. Can someone explain to me what's happening? If it's off the board, how's the number moving? Okay, I'm not trying to call anyone out here, but that doesn't seem right that you're leaving it up for us to look at. It's grayed out, and the number just keeps dancing. It's now minus 198. They're still in a weather delay. I'm going to look if we're getting ready to come back to action or something, because that is just odd that it's moved that much in the last 4 minutes since the show has started. That doesn't really make sense to me. White Sox, Cubs. Let's see what we got here. I'm going to check another book and see what it has. Minus 170, on the Cubs here. So it seems like everyone's doing the same thing. That's usually what you see with these odds, is they copy each other at times when there's not a lot of known information. And that seems to be the vibe right now in that game in the Windy City. In case you missed it earlier today, we had the Yankees top the Orioles 3-1. Carlos Rodon, first start off the IL, 4 innings, 1 earned, 4 strikeouts on 66 pitches. Trent Grisham hit his 17th home run of the season. How about Shane Boz, though, in a losing effort? 6 1/3, 3 earned, 10 strikeouts for him. Kind of rounding into form for the Orioles and looking pretty solid. A game that we got dead wrong earlier tonight. The Blue Jays top the Rays 10-5. Toronto cash is +118 as a dog. It goes over 7.5. We had the under. There were 15 runs scored. Shout out to us for being that far off. The Blue Jays are now tied for the third wild card spot. As that sits right now, oh, you know what? Texas with a win over the Angels just jumped them as I say that. Texas won 5-0 over the Angels. They now have a half-game lead on Minnesota and the Blue Jays. So Minnesota, for a brief moment, was tied for that third wild card spot. That is not the case anymore. Jose Soriano, 5 2/3, 3 earned, 2 strikeouts. It appeared the Blue Jays were giving up when they traded away Kevin Gausman. Well, Jose Soriano has been pretty solid so far. Nick Martinez got hit, 3 2/3, 6 earned, 5 strikeouts. Here's the problem with Nick Martinez and why it makes me very hesitant to back Tampa Bay in the postseason. Is he just allows so much contact, and at some point, you got to pay the piper there. How about this at Coors Field? We have a double or single off the bat of Shane Veen. That drives in a run. It's a 2-run game. Dodgers with the lead 7-5. Rockies aren't done, guys. Nobody's out. There's 2 runners on in the 8th inning as another bullpen arm for the Dodgers is melting down here in the name of Evan Phillips. Betting market currently has it as the Dodgers -244, the Rockies +208, 14.5 now the total. It was 12.5 a moment ago. We closed 11.5 pregame. We're now 14.5 in-game. And by the way, the over is juiced at -$1.58 there. The odds are back on the screen for the White Sox and Cubs, I should note, in the 8th. And it's available to bet, which makes me think that we are coming back and playing here in the next, I don't know, few moments, minutes. I don't know how to guesstimate this one, but because it's no longer grayed out, that is my assumption. But again, I am just assuming this. We'll keep you posted as more information comes out, and we'll keep monitoring this Dodgers Rockies game. As ooh, that was a tough play in left. Looks like Teoscar might have lost it in the lights. A fly out to left. That's the first out of the eighth inning. Dodgers are up 7-5 on the Rockies right now. You could get Colorado +334. I do not trust this bullpen for the Dodgers right now. I wouldn't do that. If I was going to bet anything, it would be the over 14.5. 12 runs have been scored, and the Rockies could plate another one right here with one swing of the bat. And the Dodgers still have another crack at it against a Rockies bullpen that really isn't overwhelming. If I was going to do anything there, that's something I'd consider in this spot here. Recapping the rest of early action in Major League Baseball. Cleveland all over the Giants, 8-1. They were -197 favorites. We go over the total of 8, just barely. Joe Adell took a shot deep for a home run as a member of the Guardians. 3-for-4, 6 ribbies for Adell. Foster Griffin, 6 innings, 1 earned, 6 strikeouts. Cleveland made moves at the deadline. Cleveland wants to make a stand here. They are still a game back, though, in the wild card at 61-65 on the season. St. Louis topped the Reds 3-0. Kyle Leahy, another good performance. 5 innings, no runs, 6 strikeouts for Leahy as the Cardinals. 3 games out of the National League wild card as we sit currently. Pittsburgh topped the Tigers 4-1. Braxton Ashcraft, 8 innings, 1 earned, 4 strikeouts. O'Neill Cruz recently activated off the IL, his 15th dinger of the season. And Philadelphia took care of Miami. They were -210, 6-4. We do go over the total of 8, though, as Zach Wheeler, 5 innings, 2 earned, 7 strikeouts. Arraez went 3-for-4, but here's the story. If you're watching the Phillies and their offense currently, Alec Baum, Bryson Stott, the last 4 or 5 weeks here have been really on it. Both of them had hits. Both of them drove in 2 ribbies apiece. That has been huge for Philadelphia here as we get down the home stretch of the Major League Baseball season. In Boston, it was the Red Sox 9, the Diamondbacks 4. Boston minus 167 gets home. We go over 7.5. Adley Rutschman, first home run in Boston as a member of the Red Sox there. Merrill Kelly, very concerning for the Diamondbacks, who are now 2 games out of the final wild card. 4 innings, 6 earned for him. You go back and look, 3 of his last 4 starts have not been good, and he's getting older. Arizona really needed to add an arm at the deadline that can make an impact, and I'm not sure they did enough here. That could be big piece of why they're going to fade down the stretch, in my opinion. San Diego with a nice win to take that third spot in the wild card, up 2 games on Arizona. 5-2 at the Mets. Fernando Tatis, 2 homers, also robbed a grand slam to Francisco Lindor. Robbie Ray, 6 innings, 1 earned, and 4 strikeouts in the contest. They were minus 116, 8.5. We go under the total there. In Kansas City, the Royals were down 3-1, bottom 9 with 1 out. They came all the way back to win it 4-3. 3-run 9th for the Royals. Tolbert tied it at 3. Witt with the walk-off, little blooper into left field. And that's how that thing shook out there as the Royals cash minus 157 and go under 9. Minnesota beat the Braves 4-1. Josh Bell with a 2-run homer in that one. Twins were a plus 131 dog with Zebby Matthews on the bump, under 8.5 cashes. Milwaukee, a 22-0 win over the Seattle Mariners. Kyle Harrison, 5 shutout innings, 8 strikeouts. Bryce Miller knocked around again for 5 earned and 4 2/3. Yelich, Bowers, Hamilton, all with homers. And Texas shut out the Nationals, 5-0. Cal Quantrill, 7 shutout innings on the bump for Texas. That's where we stand with the baseball. We'll take you through the live action as it transpires. But when we return, we hit the top stories in the National Football League with the 3-point stance.
Cashing out. You're on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Dodgers in a little bit of trouble at Coors Field. Welcome back into the program. I'm Dustin Sweetelson. This is Cashing Out on VSiN, the sports betting network. Dave Roberts went to the bullpen, brought in the lefty. It's Alex Vesia. And if you remember, if you were listening on Thursday, as I know you pay attention to every single second of this show, on Thursday, we cashed a ticket fading Alex Vesia coming in against the Brewers in game 4-1 we got on Milwaukee. Should we be considering the same here as he takes on the light-hitting catcher Brett Sullivan in the bottom of the order for the Colorado Rockies? We could get the Rockies at plus 770. Total in game is 13.5. The over is plus $1.26. The under is minus 164. Dodgers lead 7-5 here in the eighth, but I don't know, man. I don't like the vibes from the Dodgers bullpen. There's not a lot of room left in this game in the eighth inning with 2 outs here, but man, this has been a solid showing by the Rockies late in this contest, plating a run with the eighth, 2 more threatening, runners on first and second. I kind of want to do it, but I know it's probably the wrong thing to do right now. So let me just see here real quickly as Sullivan is pinch hitting too. So he didn't even start the game. Fulford started. This is his first at bat, cold batter, lefty on lefty, and he's just fighting up there. He's not even taking good hacks at this thing. On the season, Brett Sullivan on the year. Hitting .263 against lefties, that's actually pretty respectable. He's 10 for 38, 4 doubles, no homers, 9 ribbies. So we will see what happens with the Rockies and Dodgers. I want to stay with this at bat. Then we'll get to the top stories in the National Football League. Is there's a quarterback in the league who has a chip on his shoulder again, and if he keeps having a chip on his shoulder, I don't know when at some point, you know, he just starts to act differently. You can't keep doing this. If you have a chip on your shoulder and it's falling off, eventually there's nothing left of you. But a check swing from Sullivan down to third. They get the force. Vesia gets out of the jam. 7-5. We go to the top of the ninth inning. Dodgers coming to the dish where they are minus 2,400. The Rockies plus 1,260. 12.5 is the total. If you're going to go over, you're going to go now because your thought is that the Dodgers could play another run. And then you hope, as a backup plan, the Rockies are scoring. I'm going to leave that one alone, though. With that, though, we are going to stay on the West Coast for the most part with our 3-point stance.
Top stories in football.
We want some more! We want some more! We want some more!
Every single day.
Ice up, son! Ice up!
This is 3-point stance.
Hey, I'm just here so I don't get fined.
We'll play intramurals, brother.
And we begin in San Francisco, where this keeps happening. I don't know any other way to frame it is that the San Francisco 49ers have shown up to training camp this year, and they have gotten hurt. They've stayed hurt. This is going back a year ago where they were consistently injured, and they're still without a lot of key pieces. Report coming out today that Mike Evans experiencing quad tightness per Kyle Shanahan. He had his left foot and ankle wrapped and iced, according to Nick Wagner, who covers the team. Christian McCaffrey. He would have practiced today, according to Kyle Shanahan, but they were doing a joint practice with the Chargers. This is McCaffrey's eighth missed practice in a row. The reports are it's not related to wanting a new contract, which makes it a little bit more concerning that we haven't even played a game yet, and this guy who's been injured a lot in his past, wasn't injured a year ago, is dealing with something. So now we look at San Francisco as a whole. Not practicing earlier today, this via Cam Inman. Nick Bosa, CMC, Kyle Juszczyk, Curtis Rourke, Malik Mustafa. That doesn't even factor in some of the other guys with some more long-term issues where they've not been available. And then Mykal Williams, the report earlier today, he's considered a long shot to return for week one. That was a guy a year ago that made a lot of sense as a potential defensive rookie of the year, got injured, and we didn't get to see what he could be. Now he may not be ready for game one. The one thing I'd say about the Niners this year compared to last year that doesn't have me as concerned. Sure, this is concerning. This isn't a good thing to go through. You don't feel great about it. But I am less concerned than it would have been a year ago with that win total at 10.5. By the way, the unders minus 160, the overs plus $1.30. They do have pretty good depth. I think everyone's kind of sleeping on what DeMarcus Robinson's been as a professional receiver in his career. Anytime that guy's been asked in multiple stops to step up and make plays, he's been very, very solid. Jake Tongas, we saw what he did when Kittle was injured a year ago. Jordan James, Keelan Black at running back, if McCaffrey were to miss sometimes. These aren't obviously even, right? The talent level. There is a drop-off from the starter to the backup, but they do have more bodies than they did a season ago, which is why I'm not quite in panic mode yet for the Niners. And as someone who has Brock Purdy to win the Most Valuable Player Award, I'd say this kind of adds to his narrative of maybe lifting this team when they're without so many key pieces as they're trying to get organized in a rebound season. So that is where we stand with the San Francisco side of things. Staying in that joint practice, let's go to Jim Harbaugh, because he had this to say about his counterpart, Kyle Shanahan, earlier today.
Proof's in the pudding. You know, it's just right there. It's just been just always really... They're always just really good, you know, and if, you know, if something isn't, then it gets fixed ASAP, you know, could be the next week, could be 2 weeks, but it's not much further past that. And, you know, it's never been consecutive years, you know, so I think it's a really good way to judge coaches.
Yeah, track record's pretty crazy. 12-5 a year ago in what you'd consider a down year for San Francisco because some of the injuries that they dealt with. 6-11 the season before, 12-5 before that, going to the Super Bowl, 13-4 prior to that, 10-7. Kyle Shanahan, all he does is win. And his offense is consistent. He's found the maestro to run that thing. And with all the talk now of these injuries and what they've been up against the last couple seasons, is there a narrative built for Kyle Shanahan already for coach of the year? I don't love looking at the top of the board. I think that's so overrated. We get so obsessed with the idea of someone coming in and fixing a program that's doing poorly. We don't factor in other adversity that should go into the requirements to win the NFL Coach of the Year award. And Kyle Shanahan right now in the market, he's a long shot. He's 35-1. He is near the bottom, closer to the bottom than he is the middle, at 35-1. He's around names like Jeff Hafley, who's a first-year guy in Miami, Matt LaFleur, who's hanging on by a thread in Green Bay. Why can't Kyle Shanahan, if this team is just running all over the league, why can't he have a case here? What if they win the NFC West? An NFC West with defending Super Bowl champions in Seattle. An NFC West with the current Super Bowl favorite in the Los Angeles Rams. What if the Niners were capable of doing that? Could he win this award? Would that narrative be big enough for him to take it home? I think it's worth considering. I prefer to live in the long shots deeper down the board for Coach of the Year than I do the guys at the top, because I do think we can build the case here with some of these guys. Shanahan, 35-1. Zach Taylor, 28-1. I'm going to say something you're going to think I'm nuts. Aaron Glenn at 28-1. That's kind of the area I'm targeting when betting coach of the year, because all those guys at the top, man, they're kind of taking votes away from each other. But Jim Harbaugh sees it. Shanahan, there's no denying it. Even if they have a bad year, he is far from being on the hot seat anytime soon. Are the Tampa Bay Buccaneers on the hot seat as far as Baker Mayfield's concerned? He wants a new contract. They want to franchise tag him next year. And Baker Mayfield might be listening to this show right now because he claims everyone is doubting the Buccaneers in 2026.
I think we're going to shock a lot of people this year. And so I'm excited to just get on the road and do that. Embellishing. I think you can't avoid it. There's the TVs everywhere. I think everybody's. Yeah. Hell yeah, I am. Everybody's picking us probably to have a losing record. So we'll see.
I don't believe that's the case, Bake. Last time I checked, Tampa Bay plus $1.70 to win the NFC South. That would be the favorite to win the division, which would mean you're going to the playoffs. Not sure anyone's saying you're going to have a losing record. The win total's 8.5. I do lean to the over. I'm more bullish on the Buccaneers than some of my contemporaries here in the media. So he does have some credence with what he's saying, but I think the consistency with the Buccaneers is being so underrated. 8 wins a year ago, sure, that wasn't great, but they were dealing with so many injuries. 10 the year prior, 9 before that, 8 before that, 13 at the end of Tom Brady before that, 11. The last time they went under 8.5, you know, was 2022. And then prior to that was the last year of Jameis Winston in 2019. I think this defense is so loaded and not talked about enough. A'shaun Robinson joins the middle. Hopefully they can get Vita Vea to be on that D-line with him. And then Alex Anzalone gives them a really strong veteran presence at linebacker. And the rookies, Reuben Bain, Josiah Trotter, and Keontae Scott at corner out of Miami, I think they all make an impact immediately. This defense is going to be so tough and physical. I don't know if the offense has to do all that much. And they'll miss Mike Evans, but there's plenty of guys to make plays. Egbuka remains on this team. You have Tez Johnson. You have Chris Godwin. There's plenty of guys. And as far as the division is concerned, I am not scared of New Orleans, who seems to be the hype train this year. Tyler Shuck ain't beat nobody, Paul. Seriously. Down the stretch, one game against a team with a winning record, and he did not look good against the Rams, the one team with a winning record. We're talking about a combined record of the opponents for Tyler Shuck, where he went 5-4, 30-55 on the season. Don't love that. I'm not buying that New Orleans is a real contender to win this division. What do we do as far as the AL wild card? We'll break it down on the other side of cashing out.
Cashing out here on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on Cashing Out, Dustin Sweetelson coming at you from the Circus Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas. Broadcasting as always, SiriusXM channel 158, YouTube TV, the VSiN Watch app, and radio affiliates across the United States of God Bless America. Update at Coors Field: we have one out in the ninth. Bottom half of the ninth, Dodgers with the lead 7-5. As currently, we are looking at Jake McCarthy at the plate, top of the order for the Rockies, facing Tanner Scott, who has not been very good lately for Los Angeles. Weather delay at Wrigley Field. Eighth inning, we are tied at threes between the White Sox and the Cubs. The Cubs are minus 198 on the money line, plus 171 with the White Sox. 7.5 is the total. We will keep you posted on if that game resumes tonight on the program as Jake McCarthy goes down the line against Tanner Scott. He is going for two, and he's going to stop at second. And now at Coors Field, we have the tying run coming to the plate. Right now in the betting market, the Rockies are plus 810. The Dodgers are plus 1220. Before we get to John Bowman here, former baseball scout, betting with Bowman, I might just for funsies take a little here of Colorado at a stupid number if I can get it, because there's a chance that they do something. At least send it to extras, and then we can get creative here. But the tying run's at the place, and Tanner Scott's been bad. This whole bullpen for the Dodgers has been bad. Edwin Diaz is on the IL as of today. I'm going to take just a little bit, just for fun, on the Rockies, plus 750, just because we can, want something to sweat out. All right, put that to the side, and we will get to our buddy John Bowman, who joins us now via the Progressive guest line, former big league scout with the Blue Jays, at John Bowman 11. You can find him on X, Baseball with Bowman, all the information on X as well. John, talk to me, man, because right now we have a very fun National League MVP race. I'm sure you saw it earlier today. PCA with another leadoff home run, 31st of the year. Ohtani responds in this Dodgers game with his 30th dinger of the season. And now in the betting market, we've got PCA minus 165. Ohtani is plus 130. Where do you fall on the great debate of NL MVP this year?
I mean, it's always a tough one going against Ohtani, right? Like, I feel like it's pretty much how do you value his pitching? And it's been the same, you know, discussion for the past few years now. And, you know, PCA and Ohtani have very similar offensive stats right now. Just Ohtani has 14 starts. He dominated in those 14 starts. PCA plays all-star level defense. So what do you value more? And then there's always the aspect of, is it the most valuable player on your team, or is it, you know, a best player award? So I think that's always a big question as well. At this point, I would go with Ohtani at plus money. I mean, you can't really go wrong there.
Yeah, I've got a little plus 110, plus 105 on PCA from last night. I got lost in the sauce and caught up in the moment of the walk-off, and I bet that. I kind of think that the prudent move is just to vig this thing to death and take the plus 130 on Ohtani and just keep going plus price and let the chips fall where they may, because I don't think we're done fluctuating in this market. Now, last year at this time, the Dodgers were kind of in a similar scuffle where they find themselves currently. Off the weekend, the losses to Milwaukee, just not looking the same the last couple weeks. And their odds got all the way up to 5, 6, 7 to 1 to win the World Series. Current odds have them plus 165 to win the World Series. Where are you at with the Dodgers and this bump in the road they've seemed to hit at this point of August?
Yeah, I mean, it always seems to be this time of year, right? Like a little bit after the trade deadline, kind of the dog days of summer, not really into September yet where, you know, you're playing for a lot. And, you know, this year they kind of have the division, a pretty stronghold right now. The Padres are playing really well, and they are kind of sneaking up a bit on the Dodgers right now. But if you're the Dodgers, you know, all you've got to do is make the playoffs. I mean, that's all they care about. I think the only worry would be if they don't get one of those top two seeds, end up playing a 3-game series to move on. And the way that you get one of these big spending teams is with a sample size, you know, and only a 3-game series or, you know, some other teams in 5-game series. So I think that's where you could get to them. But it's the Dodgers, man. They're going to figure it out. They're going to show up in the playoffs and they're going to be right there again.
John Bowman is our guest, former big league scout at John Bowman 11, Baseball with Bowman, all the information on his X page. Where do you come down an American League wild card? Because is there a team that could sneak in and make a run? As it stands right now, the Yankees have the top spot. The Red Sox are number two. And then after that, the Rangers hold on to the third spot with Minnesota, Toronto lurking a half game back. Cleveland, Baltimore, and Detroit each a game back. And Seattle still just 3 games back in the wild card. How do you think things shake out there?
Yeah, I mean, we've got, 6 teams within 1 game for that last spot in the AL wild card right now. I mean, it's going to come down to the very end. None of the teams are above 500 either. It makes me think that, 83, even 84 wins could end up getting that final wild card spot. Like I said, 6 of those teams are within 1 game of that wild card, but it does seem like, you know, some of those teams are way further back, like the Blue Jays, for example. It feels like the Blue Jays should be 6-7 games back right now, but, you know, they're right in it along with just about every other AL team right now. So I truly think it could go to any of those teams, whichever team gets hot at the end of the season.
Update at Coors Field. Willie Castro has driven in Jake McCarthy. We have a one-run game with 2 outs, though, in the 9th inning. Tying run is on first base in the name of Willie Castro. So we're not done yet. We have a little bit of hope. Betting market right now, we're looking at the Dodgers still minus 1360. The Rockies are a better number at plus 880. But, hey, we're one swing of the bat from something fun happening and maybe getting a fun ticket home that we're sweating out on cashing out. You have some plays coming up here for Wednesday, and I'm with you on this first one completely. San Diego at the Mets, Michael King, minus 136, Robert Stock and New York, plus 113 at City. 8.5 is the total. Which direction are you looking?
Yeah, I like the Padres on the money line there against the Mets. Both teams have actually been really hot lately, two of the hottest teams in the league. But the Mets have Robert Stock going. You really don't know what you'll get out of him. He's got 8 walks in his last 2 starts. The Padres have their ace, Michael King, going. He should give them a good start. The Padres, like I said, the Padres have been playing really well. The Mets have been playing really well. But, you know, the Padres have the better team. I do think that they figure it out there on the road and end up winning that series.
Yeah, I'm with you. Robert Stock's 36 years old. He's been up and down throughout the majors and minors for a few years. To me, he's just not a major league pitcher. Even though the numbers look good at the end for 2 of his 3 starts, I'm not buying against a San Diego lineup that I think's found its form. I'm trying to talk myself out of betting the Padres to win the pennant, John, because I do it almost every year, and every year they let me down in dramatic fashion. How about the Brewers? Fresh off a 22-0 beatdown against Seattle on Tuesday, Dustin May takes the bump. He's minus $1.25. Logan Gilbert in Seattle on the road, plus +104. Total in this matchup is 7.5.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think you can argue that the Mariners don't have the pitching advantage in this game. Logan Gilbert going against Dustin May for the Brewers, but you just mentioned it, the Brewers coming off a 22-0 game, 22-0 win. You know, it is football season. Brewers haven't been playing their best, to be honest, but the Mariners have been playing so much worse. I mean, they've been skidding for a very long time now. To be honest, a team with that much talent and that much pitching has no business being this bad right now, but they're playing themselves out of the AL wild card. I believe they are only 3 games back, which is kind of crazy to say with them, I want to say 8 games under .500. So, you know, they could make a run, but the way that they've been playing lately, and, you know, they've got to end up jumping 6 teams to do it. So I'm going to keep fading the Mariners as long as it's profitable.
John Bowman is our guest, former Major League Baseball scout. Bet Baseball with Bowman on his X page at John Bowman 11. Before I let you go, I got to ask you, Paul Skenes takes the bump on Wednesday, early game against the Tigers. He has not been right. The results haven't been the same. Is this an injury? Is it mechanical? What do you see that's going wrong for a guy that we all kind of penciled in to be there at the end for the National League Cy Young?
Yeah, so I tweeted this out a little bit before the All-Star break. Is his 4-seam fastball spin rate was actually decreasing start over start. When I was with the Toronto Blue Jays, one of the first things they asked me when I walked into that sports science department is, how can you determine if a pitcher is injured? I didn't know the answer to it. And so I made something up. I just guessed fastball velo. They were like, no, it's fastball, 4-seam fastball spin rate. And, you know, fastball velo usually stays the same. If a guy is fatigued, the spin rate doesn't. So that's what I've been looking at with Paul Skenes. And we've seen his velo way down as well. So I do think there's something going on there. But he's a tough guy and he wants to help his team win. So that I think that's why he's been staying in the lineup, even though he hasn't been at his best.
Yeah, he's just going to battle the rest of the way. And hopefully this is something that doesn't linger into next year. He's John Bowman. He does an awesome job. I encourage everyone to check him out on X at John Bowman 11 for all the info for Baseball with Bowman. Thanks for coming on late night with me, man. Would love to chat throughout the end of the regular season into the postseason.
Yeah, awesome. Thanks for having me.
Hey, week 0 college football is almost here, and with the NFL regular season right behind it, now is the time to get your edge with VSiN Pro. Join today, get both the college football and NFL betting guides, team previews, power ratings, betting system, they're all there. Start today for just $9.99 or save 50% with a VSiN Pro annual subscription. Sign up now at VSiN.com/subscribe. How are the NFL lines moving for preseason week 2? Find out next on Cashing Out.
Cashing Out here on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Final score at Coors Field, 7-6. The Dodgers do pull off the win. Welcome back into the show. I'm Dustin Sweetelson. Hey, we took a little funsies. What was it, 7.5-1 on the Rockies when they were down by 2 in the 9th? They played it a run. The total would have been the way to look. That was the way to bet that one. Unfortunately, we don't cash that one in the moment. But hey, you take some long shots. You only got to hit a couple of them to be profitable. And we hit one last Thursday, 4-1, with Milwaukee in game against this Dodgers bullpen. And this is something you have to remember when you're handicapping games, especially when you're sitting there watching them live and live betting them. the opportunities to go against bullpens. And it's not just the year-long the numbers that you should be looking at. Who's hot, who's not, who's struggling, who's spent, who's used too many guys. And with that, that's why we're going to talk about this White Sox and Cubs game. They're currently in a delay. Don't know if they're returning. They just showed everyone walking around the tarp at Wrigley Field. It's 3-3 in the eighth. Cubs are minus 198. Plus 171 with the White Sox. 7.5 is your total. We are waiting to find out if they're going to resume action tonight. And I just think it's worth noting in this one that the White Sox opened with Hudson. They let Fetty go 4 2/3. They've used Brazoban for a third. Taylor pitched an inning as they've thrown 7 innings. But remember, last night they used a bunch of relievers as this game went into extras. So I just want to pull up how many relievers they used last night in the 7-5 loss and extras at Wrigley. But the Cubbies, I mean the White Sox, used Schweitzer in relief of Castillo, Richard Hicks and Smith. I don't know who's available for the White Sox the rest of the way. The Cubs did use a lot of guys, but they didn't use all of their high leverage arms. I think because that's a bullpen I trust more, they just have more options. Look, I'm not in the business of laying $2 very often, but something I'd consider is laying the 198 with the Cubbies here. If they do resume tonight, there's a chance that this doesn't start tonight, gets pushed to maybe tomorrow in a makeup, and then all of a sudden the White Sox bullpen gets to rest, and maybe that plus 171 looks like a good spot to be on. So I'm not going to do anything with this game. I'm not going to touch this one, but worth noting, and we'll keep you posted if they come back and play later on tonight. And with that, we should look over at the NFL preseason because these numbers are on the move, and every week you're going to see that until we get to the regular season, is that news is going to come out, and there's going to be adjustments in the marketplace. And this via Big Al McMorty, who you see on the show a bunch, good friend of Scott Spreitzer, who's going to join the show in our final hour tonight. But he said on Twitter, I tweet every year about it. Wrote an article 25, 30 years ago about it. Preseason line moves are vomit emoji. This season, teams that moved 1.5 points or more are 0-8 against the spread. That was after the Saints and Browns lost over the weekend. 23-51 against the spread since 2024. Well, what does that tell you? That tells you you have to beat the line move. You have to kind of play a guessing game of what these teams are going to do. Just because a line moves does not mean that is the sharp, steamy side to jump in on, because you reach a point where it's just too much movement. Now, my cardiologist would say I need more movement, but in terms of point spreads, too much movement. These were the line moves, as Todd Furman posted on X over the weekend. Bengals moved 3 points, 3.5 to 6.5. Packers from +1.5 to laying 3. The Colts +1.5 to laying 3. Titans from a 1.5 dog to laying 6.5. The Jets +1.5 to 5.5 laying it. Dolphins +1.5 to laying 3.5. And the Browns from +1.5 to laying a field goal in that game. That is absolutely brutal. If you got the worst of the number in that, if you got the best of it, you're sitting in a good spot. But if you're betting the worst of these numbers, waiting for the markets to get more efficient over time, you're going to lose a lot of money along the way. And if you go to VSiN.com right now, Adam Burke has a tremendous article that he's updating with all the news around who's going to be playing this week and week two in the preseason. Some of these jumped out to me, and there's correlated line moves to go with them. For starters, Kansas City at Tampa Bay. We open with the Buccaneers -2.5. It's now up to Tampa Bay -5.5. That is a 3-point move. As Andy Reid told reporters, the more reps his backups, Justin Fields and Garrett Gusmeier, get, the better. Which means you're not going to see Mahomes, but you're going to see plenty of the backups. I imagine Chris Oludokun as well here in this spot. Tampa Bay feeling a little steamy here, catching a big number now at 5.5. Well, why is that? Baker Mayfield, he is going to play along with the starters in week two. But how far is he going to play? That feels like an overreaction. I am considering Kansas City in the points. I think 5.5 is way too much. When you think about what? 2 series for Baker Mayfield, 10, 12 plays max. They're not playing him a whole first half. They can't afford for him to get injured. One, contract year. Two, this is a team that is the favorite to win that division. They can't afford anyone major to go down this early in the season with no room to make up for their absence. I think Kansas City has a puncher's chance with those backups, the way that they looked, to win this thing outright. I am strongly considering catching 5.5 with the Chiefs at the Bucks. He also wrote up this over at VSiN.com, Adam Burke. Mitch Trubisky was hurt Monday in practice for Tennessee. His status is up in the air. Cam Ward didn't look great in the first preseason game. He'd expect Robert Saleh to roll the dice and get him some work here. Also, expect a lot of Will Levis. Seattle is at Tennessee. That's who the Titans match up with in Nashville. They open -2. This one's up to 4.5. As Cam Ward should play a little bit, but Will Levis, chip on his shoulder, going up against Seattle. Ooh, that's another spot where I kind of like the dog post-move. I don't want to be too reactionary and fade some of these line moves and go the opposite route, but that is the direction I'm considering, and I'm staying on the unders. As we were on the air Thursday, we started this thing 6-0 to the under. I'm still leaning more under with the preseason. It's going to take a lot of evidence for me to get to an over, and if I get beat by high-scoring games, I'll tip my hat, I'll move on, live to fight another day, but I'm only identifying unders, and I think the smart move would be look for dogs that you think can actually win outright, because these games are closer to coin flips than those numbers seem to indicate right now. Jacksonville is expected to play their starters in week 2. It's expected. We don't have anything firm right now, at least I didn't see from Liam Cohen and company. They didn't play any starters last week against the Saints. Cohen said that because they couldn't do a padded practice on Monday with Carolina, he may consider playing his starters a bit on Friday in order to get, quote, good players on good players facing one another. Carolina is at Jacksonville this week. Numbers still 2.5. Jags are laying it in the market. Total 39.5 down to 38.5. A slight move to the under. I don't hate the idea of an under in this one. I'm going to leave that one alone, but worth noting that we haven't seen a move here, and the Jaguars starters are expected to play in this contest. Clint Kubiak, head coach of the Raiders, he said earlier in the week, Francisco Mendoza will get a lot of reps in preseason week 2. He is taking on the Texans, who they've been going at it in joint practices down in Houston all week. Adam Hill, Raiders beat writer, will check in from Houston tomorrow on the program. Give us thoughts of what he's seen with this Raiders, the first year of Kubiak, going up against arguably the best defense in all of the NFL. Raiders open laying 0.5. It's now Houston -1.5. 2-point move on the side. Fernando Mendoza said this about where he's at with this team and the offense.
I would say that it is tough. However, everything that is tough, you wouldn't want something to be easy. If it's tough, it's worth it, and that's why it works at the highest level. And it's great because the teammates, we rely on each other. We rely on the receivers to make the right timing, right route. The receivers rely on the quarterback to throw in the correct timing. The linemen rely on the quarterback to get it out on time. The quarterback rely on the lineman to give them that time to throw it. And then the tight end, I mean, there's so many different variables to it. And when we all rely on each other, I believe it makes us closer. And when we become one oiled unit and we have all this synergy and become a dynamic ecosystem where we're evolving together, playing on time, be able to make, and then still make some off-schedule plays, but mostly playing on time, then that's what teams in this system take the next level.
Well-oiled units. Is he talking about the football season or a Diddy party? What's going on, Fernando? Either way, you're looking at a potential rookie of the year offensively in Fernando Mendoza, but I'm not betting it. I am going to wait and see what happens here. He's 5.5-1 behind Jeremiah Love, who I don't even know if he's going to be ready for week 1. But I don't know when the Raiders deploy Mendoza. If you look at the schedule, week 1 against Miami, that's probably the best opportunity. They then have 2 road games at the Chargers, at the Saints. Then they have Kansas City. They go to New England. It's Buffalo. It's the Chargers. Maybe week 8 at the Jets. But what if Kirk Cousins is giving them a puncher's chance? What if he's keeping them in these games? Can they turn it over to Mendoza at that point? I'm not so sure it's an easy decision. And oh, by the way, the schedule doesn't get much easier after the Jets. At San Fran, Seattle, at Denver, at Cleveland. Man, the Raiders really are up against it as they try to break in the quarterback of the future in Fernando Mendoza. I'm joking about what he said, but the reality is I love that kid. He is so pure, and he needs to be protected at all costs. Most people think sports betting is about picking winners. Ungambled is built on a different idea. Match betting and arbitrage. It's a tool that teaches you how to use sportsbook bonuses and promotional offers to capture value whether or not your side covers. And Ungambled backs it all up. If you don't turn a profit on your bankroll in 8 weeks, they refund your membership. To learn more, start with the free guide at ungambled.com/VSIN. That's ungambled.com/VSIN. Use promo code VSIN for 10% off. Bet sharp, look square at Ungambled.